and welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of Christmas 2011. It's amazing that it's already here. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and Christmassy Melissa Hansen.
Ho, ho, ho.
Green giant.
No, I'm Sandy Claus.
Oh, okay. So how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm all right. What have you been up to entertainment-wise this week?
Catching a couple shows on Hulu.
Yeah.
One of them, let me describe the show and you tell me if you know what it is.
Oh, okay.
Bit of a loser, works in like electronics store, has a best friend who's kind of a bit of a selfish jerk, becomes a spy accidentally. And gets a crush on a blonde female spy who can kick some ass.
Zachary Levi in Chuck.
Yes, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm actually talking about the show Spy, which is a British show.
Oh, did they copy Chuck?
And, you know, not quite.
Okay.
That's, besides them both being smart, funny shows, that's kind of where the similarities end.
Okay.
But it's interesting when you kind of sit and think about it. They're very different shows, but they have that at the core.
Okay.
And Spy, our loser guy, actually also has an ex-wife and a 9-year-old son who hates him. Both the ex-wife and the son. And he's got custody of the son, and the son goes to this prep school and is this snooty little smart boy who just is horrible to his father. Huh. So in trying to get his son to like him, he quits the dead-end job, you know, at the computer store and tries to get a civil servant job and accidentally walks into the test to be a spy and scores the highest on it.
Okay.
And actually, it's called Spy. It's a new British show. There's only one series, so 6 episodes.
Okay.
It stars Darren Boyd, who was actually also in White's, that restaurant show I talked
about last week, right?
He plays Tim, the lead character, and actually for a spy, he doesn't really do that much. It's not an action-y show; it's just a comedy. It's almost like a workplace comedy. It just so happens that their workplace is MI5.
Gotcha.
So really smart, really funny. This kind of precocious kid who kind of has this deadpan delivery on everything when he's like ripping on his father.
So is it the kid's show or is it the dad's show?
No, it's the dad's show.
Okay.
It's just the kid's kind of the breakout character on it, giving his dad grief all the time. I really, really enjoyed it.
Nice.
So it sounds just like Chuck, but don't go into it thinking it's Chuck. It's a half-hour sitcom, kind of workplace com, work and home. It kind of splits it with his crazy ex-wife and then, you know, all the other brand new spies going through training and his crazy, crazy boss.
Okay.
Yeah, so it definitely gets a recommendation from me.
Great.
So that, and the other one I caught was kind of opposite end of spectrum with it, called The Booth at the End. It's okay. Another new series. It was actually a web series, and I believe a Canadian website showed it first, and now it's on Hulu. Huh. It stars Xander Berkeley, who is one of those guys, you're like, I know him, I've seen him in 100 other shows.
Okay.
He was on 24 the first couple seasons, but you would recognize him when you see him. And he plays the lead character who doesn't have a name. And he sits in this booth in a diner. And you know what? Technically, it's not the booth at the end. It's a booth in the middle.
Yeah.
But he sits there and people come to him with problems and things they need fixed.
Okay.
And he gives them a chore to do. And if they do the chore, then whatever they want will happen. And so it's another short series, I believe 5 episodes, and it's this same group of people. There's very, like, maybe a half dozen people. This cast of characters come in one at a time and ask for something, and then they come back and kind of check in and how's it going, whether they've done their rob a bank or set off a bomb or help an invalid. And at the beginning, you're like, oh my gosh, it's like people making deal with the devil. And then later on, you're like, no, he's a guardian angel. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh, no, wait, maybe not. And so you're kind of trying to figure out where he's coming from and what's going on. And so by the end, kind of the storylines are interwoven, and you kind of find out what happens to all these characters you've gotten to know. Really interesting show. Really haven't seen anything quite like it. Huh. So it's another one I would recommend. So that's what I've been up to entertainment-wise. Mm-hmm. What about you?
Well, with all these movies I have here to watch, you know what I did? I went through a Christmas marathon. I was doing Christmas cards, so I sat down and did a 70s, 80s marathon of Christmas TV specials.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Those were the best, man.
So, Fat Albert's Christmas special.
Excellent.
Which, you know what, was surprisingly, and I remember this, having seen this as a kid, this is on Netflix. It's really touching. You know, Bill Cosby has a degree in education, and he's always mm-hmm. been big about trying to do important message-type episodes, either be it on his show or beforehand. He's had several series. But so this 22-minute episode crams so much in. So you have the evil bad guy who's the junkyard owner where their clubhouse is. He's the Ebenezer Scrooge character.
Okay.
And you have the kids rehearsing a Christmas pageant, which gets interrupted by a couple whose car breaks down outside, and their little son comes and knocks on the door and said, "My mom's about to have a baby, and we can't get the car started." And
oh, I remember that now.
Yeah.
I remember that part.
They had just moved into town. They didn't know anybody. The dad was taking a new job, and the job fell through. So they had no place to stay. So the kids let them into the clubhouse. And
little Jesus story, except it's a clubhouse instead of a manger.
It is. It is. And that clubhouse turns out to be like a TARDIS, because what looks like an outhouse on the outside is huge on the inside.
Yeah, all of a sudden you have like 20 people in there. Nice.
But no, it's surprisingly touching and holds up really well, as does Mr. Magoo's Christmas Carol.
Really?
Which, it was funny, I remember seeing this in the past, and it's the classic Dickensian story. I mean, they hit all of the things, and it's set in London, but it's actually Magoo on Broadway doing this show. So the commercial breaks pan to the audience where the curtain opens and closes for the act or the scene.
Oh.
Of course, it's played out like a movie. Like, you couldn't have all these special effects and Scrooge flying over London, all this stuff on a stage, but, you know, you just ignore that stuff. What else? Oh, the He-Man and She-Ra Christmas special.
Oh, how did that one hold up?
You know, He-Man was a little after my time. I was a little too old, and I never really got into that. But watching this thing now, it's just like every character they introduce, it's like I keep waiting to see a commercial for a toy. It's just kind of like, here's a variation on this monster, and you can get him at the store during your commercial break.
Yeah, exactly.
It was really stupid. Orko winds up hijacking some military spy rocket that they were going to use to spy on Skeletor. And
that's very Christmassy.
Accidentally taking it to Earth, where he learns all about Christmas, because on Eternia and Etheria, they didn't know anything about Christmas, so he brings back the story of Christmas.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was it. I mean, I have all these great movies that I could have been watching, and I wound up just...
Yeah, but it's that time of year.
It is that time of year.
Get to be a kid again. And
I wrapped up the evening with the Christmas episode of Saturday Night Live, which I didn't intend to watch, but it just happened to be that time, and I turned it on, and Jimmy Fallon was hosting with Michael Bublé.
Uh-huh.
Awesome. Probably one of the best Saturday Night Live episodes in a very long time, because Jimmy brought back all of his friends.
I was going to say, when is the last time somebody used the word awesome to describe Saturday Night Live?
Yeah. So it started out with a Zazu sketch, you know, the Boston
character. I have to go watch it.
Zazu! So Rachel Dratch was there, and Amy Poehler came back. And the two of them were trying to break into their old high school dance to kind of relive their glory days.
Excellent.
Which is funny. They also did a remix of their great little Christmas song with Chris Kattan and Horatio Sanz and Tracy Morgan. Yep.
Oh, I have to watch this.
And Weekend Update had a joke off between Seth Meyers and Amy Poehler and Tina Fey and Jimmy Fallon.
Excellent. They couldn't bring Norm MacDonald back?
No.
Colin Quint, darn. Oh, wow. So, no, but that sounds great.
Yeah.
No, it really
really was a good show. And, you know, of course, there's always these lame stinker sketches, but
they cannot be great. But
and I think these are available online that you can see, if not the entire episode, but clips.
Yeah, you can. I know on Hulu.
Okay.
You can. I really don't get paid by Hulu people. I'm just... Honestly, I don't. It just so happens. That's what...
Starting next week, our show will be sponsored by Hulu.
Ooh, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
But no, so that's what I will be doing soon. I'll be catching that on Hulu, because I haven't watched it in quite a while. So I'll check it out. Excellent.
Yep.
Good to hear.
All right, let's switch over to the box office this week. Yes. Which Hollywood was praying with everything that was coming out that it was going to do better than the last couple of weeks, which were just terrible. But I think there's been some disappointment, hasn't there?
There has. Sherlock Holmes came in first with about $40 million, which to me doesn't sound bad, but they were hoping for more.
Well, the first movie in its initial release made $64 million.
Yeah. So that was number one. And then, oh God, is this a sign of an apocalypse? Alvin and the Chipmunks came in number two with all of the kids' movies that are still out there.
Why?
They've all fallen, and Alvin and the Chipmunks number two.
I saw some blog blurb about some entertainment blog blurb about David Cross saying this experience, because he's been in all three Chipmunks movies. He said this one just sucked his soul dry.
Excellent. But then, and interesting enough, Mission Impossible came in third.
Which I think was a limited release.
It was a very limited opening. So we'll see what happens, because it opens Friday nationwide. So we'll see how well it does, if it did decent and limited.
Okay.
So, and then rounding out are New Year's Eve and The Sitter. And Twilight has finally fallen out of the top five.
Well, next week, you know, being the holiday week, and studios always backload December with stuff because people are going to the movies, has a ton of stuff, not the least of which is The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Yay, I'm so excited.
Yeah, everybody seems to be.
Yeah.
They moved it up a day. It was supposed to be Wednesday, and now it's coming out on Tuesday
evening. Yeah. They're doing just evening shows, not like day shows. It'll be interesting to see how it does. I'm not sure, because it's such dark subject matter.
Well, it's horribly dark.
For this time of year.
Yeah. Well, they unleashed a Girl with a Dragon Tattoo clothing line at H&M this past week. And it sold out, at least in Los Angeles, right away.
So, okay.
But there's controversy because they're saying, well, this is a story about a woman who was a rape victim, you know? And so why are you trying to emphasize
her? You know why? Because she's not a rape victim. She's a rape survivor.
There you go. Good
and that's
point.
Why. And she is strong and tough.
Yeah.
And gets her revenge, too. So
that's a good way to look at it, because the media is taking it the other way.
Yeah, and she's an individual, and she won't change no matter what. She's not going to change for anyone or to get things. She's going to do it on her terms, and that's it. Okay. I don't know. That's my view on it.
Okay. Well, family movie-wise, we've got The Adventures of Tintin, which is the Steven Spielberg.
Which I just saw a commercial for on TV, and it looks, it's kind of creepy. The animation creeps me out.
Yeah, the motion capture stuff.
Yeah,
We Bought a Zoo with Matt Damon. That's the Cameron Crowe movie.
Yeah, which looks more and more interesting the more I see about it. I really didn't have much interest.
Yeah.
But,
and Scar Jo plays his love interest, but please don't call her Scar Jo, because it upsets her greatly.
Wah, wah, wah.
She said, nobody else has horrible nicknames like that. Why did, you know?
What are you talking about? Nobody, you thought we started with you? No. Please, Lilo, I think, had it before Scar Jo.
She was talking about somebody like Helen Mirren doesn't have a high knee or some high.
Okay, can I just say, I like Scarlett Johansson. She's been good in some things, horrible in some things, whatever. But you know what? Shut the hell up. Your two names shouldn't be in the same sentence, sweetheart.
Oh, two other big movies this week. War Horse, which got parodied on Saturday Night Live last night, which was very funny. Another Steven Spielberg movie, so he's got two out this week. And for sci-fi disaster fans, you've got The Darkest Hour, which stars Emile Hirsch, about aliens taking over the planet.
Okay.
But
Merry
like
Christmas!
Invisible aliens.
Oh.
So they have to come up with this technology to be able to see them.
Do they have to draw lines on themselves every time they see it so they don't like forget?
I don't know. That sounds like it would be copyright infringement in some way. Okay. Three award season limited releases: In the Land of Blood and Honey, which is Angelina Jolie's directorial debut.
Yes.
Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close, which is the Tom Hanks, Sandra Bullock, 9/11 family.
Yeah, it's very interesting pairing the two of them, not doing like a rom-com. First of all, the two of them together. But it's not like a rom-com. That'll be interesting to see how they do in that and how it ends up.
And Glenn Close starring in Albert Nobbs, about a woman in, I think it's 18th century? England who...
Yeah, I'm not sure the exact
man and had an incredible career as a male, even though she was female. Which is in stark contrast to, there's a TV show, I guess, coming out that's kind of looks like a reboot of Bosom Buddies with two guys who get jobs, they have to dress as women.
Oh, boy.
And
yay.
It's causing all sorts of controversy. So, all right, let's switch over and look briefly at what is coming out on DVD and Blu-ray this week.
Alrighty, and that's, we're going to DVD Verdict and upcoming DVD releases for the week of December 20th. And A Dolphin Tale.
Oh, yeah. That actually
is out.
Made some money for Warner Brothers, I think.
Yeah, I think it did okay. You know, kind of a kids movie, but for the whole family. A family movie.
Yeah.
About a dolphin with a fake tail.
Bionic tail. Yep.
Bionic tail dolphin.
$6 million dolphin.
Exactly.
A movie that didn't get a whole lot of box office time was Zoe Saldana's action epic Columbiana.
Right.
She kind of plays this little girl.
That kind of disappeared quick.
Yeah.
But...
this little girl out for revenge on the people who murdered her father.
Another one that I'm sure will be huge and I'm sure will be under many Christmas trees is Glee the Concert Movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's them on tour this past summer. They, you know, videotaped it. So it's all of the stars of Glee just on a stage singing. And that
in 3D.
Actually, I was going to say, you can get in Blu-ray 3D.
One of my favorite movies of the year, bar none, Woody Allen's Midnight in Paris.
Yes.
Whoa.
It's a beautiful picture.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to describe it.
It's a fantasy.
It really is.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful life lessons in it, and amazing, amazing performances. It's Owen Wilson, and he ends up kind of going back in time in the heyday of Paris, and they have all these... actors playing famous celebrities,
yep,
and writers and musicians and, you know, all the creative forces of that time, like F. Scott Fitzgerald and Zelda.
Hemingway.
And, you know, so all these, you know, modern actors playing these classic. It's just, it's a beautiful, beautiful little picture.
It's kind of like a reverse Purple Rose of Cairo.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's much more in that vein.
Yeah.
That's that type of Woody Allen.
Yeah. And really one of his best. I mean, out of his canon of films.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's my, I'm not a huge Woody Allen fan. I have seen a few, you know, and different ones. And this is my favorite.
Yeah.
By far.
And for people like Bruce Willis, like my sister, this is yet another direct-to-DVD Bruce Willis movie.
Ooh.
Yeah, there's been several of them this year. He's made a bunch of movies and none of them have gone to the theater, but this one's called Catch 44. With Forest Whitaker and what's her face from Watchmen? I can never remember her name.
Alan, what's it?
Yeah, Ackerman or yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I don't know, the hot chick from Watchmen.
Exactly. So, not a whole lot, given that studios are expecting you to go to the theater this week as opposed to buy stuff, you know, to watch at home. But as always, you can purchase through the links on DVD Verdict and support us through Amazon.com.
Please and thank you.
Yes. Okay. Quick rundown of what's available on streaming. New to streaming this week. We'll do both Netflix and Hulu since apparently I'm underrepresenting the Hulu population. So.
Well, I got that covered. So.
Okay. On Netflix Instant, Sons of Anarchy Season 3 shows up this week, which is a show I have not gotten into, but everyone who watches it has nothing but good things to say about it. The end of Rescue Me Season 6.
I have to catch up. I have not seen the last couple seasons of that.
Fred Armisen's web series, Portlandia, which is kind of a sketch comedy series, has done really well online, and now they're releasing it both on Blu-ray and DVD, so it must be doing extremely well. Best Worst Movie, which is a making of Troll 2, which got a lot of press upon its release, is available for the first time on Netflix. And a ton of kids' stuff. So if you need stuff to occupy your toddlers while you're baking or wrapping, you've got almost the entire catalog of Barney, Bob the Builder, Thomas and Friends, Angelina Ballerina, and Bratz.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah, stay away from the Bratz stuff. All you have to do is read one of Dave Johnson's Bratz reviews to understand.
Yeah, do Angelina Ballerina.
Yeah.
Yeah, do that. Don't do Bratz. Please. We're begging you.
On the Hulu front, Eric Osbersteger is going to be very happy because Hulu is starting December 19th, Misfits Season 3, which is a British cult series that he's been into.
Yes.
So that's available.
Yeah, that's on my list. That's my next. I'm going through all the British stuff. That's okay. Next on my list. It looks great.
Okay, because I know back in the 80s? I think it was Courtney Cox, right? Misfits of Science was kind of a similar kids who wind up with powers and don't know how to handle them. And then
right.
Heroes, which was pretty much the same thing. So
yeah.
Variation on that theme. Three African-American shows, very popular, although two of them were very short-lived. The Cosby Show. With Bill Cosby's massive 80s hit. The Tracy Morgan Show, which I think only ran for half a season. And Whoopi, which she had a very short-lived...
Right, a sitcom.
Yeah, now she's hosting The View and ripping farts and laughing about it.
Yeah, excellent. She's come so far from her Academy Award.
And a bunch of... Netflix does this too, and I think Netflix does it better because they have it right on their homepage where they kind of highlight all of these Christmas episodes from various TV shows that you can just click on as opposed to going through the seasons and looking for Christmas episodes.
Oh, nice.
So on Hulu, it's not quite as obvious as on Netflix, but they do have them listed. You just have to kind of page through their upcoming or their newly available. So there's the Christmas episode of Glee, which I know you've just seen multiple times, the new one.
Right. It's the reason I think I love Glee, because they like doing a different spin on things. And half of it was a typical Christmas episode, like, we need to learn a lesson.
And help the homeless.
And there's no reason for the season. And blah, blah. But half of it, they did a Christmas special for like local TV station. And they went and did it like old-fashioned Judy Garland Christmas special or Dean Martin Christmas special.
Exactly.
They black and white, and it was like, welcome to our chalet in the Alps, and sing songs and do little funny one-liners. And
right.
It was very, very smart and well done. That, yeah. Like, episode within an episode kind of thing.
Yeah, directed by Matthew Morrison.
Yes.
Mr. Schuster.
So, yeah, good for him.
Other new ones include New Girl, Raising Hope, and then classics from Bewitched and Dick Van Dyke and Roseanne and all the South Park stuff. So there's a ton of stuff, and Netflix offers that too. So you can peruse through your week and fill your downtime with Christmas classic television. All right, I'm turning it over to you.
Okay, well, speaking of Christmas television,
yes.
Again, we're almost done with the ABC Family, 25 Days of Christmas. So... here we go, really quick through this. ABC Family, Monday, Phineas and Ferb, Christmas Vacation. Tuesday, Mickey's Christmas Special. Wednesday, The Polar Express, Disney Prep and Landing. And then Prep and Landing, Naughty versus Nice.
I still have to see that. That's good. I'm glad they're repeating it.
Yeah, so that's on. And then The Santa Claus is also on then. And then Thursday, you have The Santa Claus 3. No, they're not showing Santa Claus 2. I don't know, whatever.
Because it's available on Netflix instant streaming.
All right, well, maybe that's the reason. There's something. So there's Santa Claus, and then Thursday, Santa Claus 3, and then National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Okay.
One of my friend Liza from high school, actually just posted on Facebook, she showed her son Christmas Vacation for the first time.
No.
And I was like, like.
Nice.
So, and then Friday, Dr. Seuss, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, which is not the classic animated. It's the Jim Carrey one. So you can check that out or avoid it as much as you can. And then Saturday and Sunday, there's specials and stuff all day long. So you can just put that on if you get the family over, put on ABC Family and be Christmas all day. And then on the, quote, regular networks, it's like game show revival, because Fear Factor just started again last week.
Right.
And then Monday, ABC, it's a new game show called You Deserve It, and it's people trying to win money, but they're winning it for someone else who doesn't know they're doing it. So a deserving person who's had some kind of hardship, someone else tries to win money for them. And then they, I guess, show up and like, look what we won for you. Huh. And then NBC has a new game show, Who's Still Standing, and that actually is running all week. It's not going to be like every Monday night. It's running like, I think, Monday through Saturday. It's running all week on NBC.
Okay.
But beginning on Monday. And then Tuesday on NBC, well, I guess we went from really good Saturday Night Live to SNL presents a very Gilly Christmas.
Oh, no. So
it's Kristen Wiig. It's all Kristen Wiig's character, Gilly.
She's retired that character since. She doesn't like it anymore. So.
Thank God. Yeah. But, yeah, so that is on Tuesday. Wednesday, it's the yearly special, Home for the Holidays. It's Martina McBride. Faith Hill have been doing it.
Oh, all right.
It's the big adoption special, trying to find a home for the holidays for foster children. So, and that's always just like a tearjerker. You have musical acts and stuff, but then you have these stories of these poor children, and it just, I sit and cry through the whole thing. So, and then, of course, Saturday evening at 8 o'clock, 7 Central, TBS starts its Christmas Story Marathon.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so that begins Saturday evening and then runs, you know, 24 hours of a Christmas story. So that is TV this week. And then next week we can get back to normal.
What else you got going on in entertainment-wise? The more cultured entertainment, I should say.
Okay, well, we'll see. Music, one of the things, I thought, quick two last-minute gift. The Rolling Stones album Some Girls is remastered and re-released, and there's a gift case set.
We just reviewed two discs,
and it's like got guitar picks and a keychain and buttons and like all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So if you've got a big Rolling Stones fan, there you go. And the other one that I'm excited about, Kevin Hearn
from Barenaked Ladies
has another solo album out.
Oh, good
it's
for him.
called Cloud Maintenance.
Kevin has very ethereal taste in music.
It's not, you know, if you're a huge Barenaked Ladies fan, you still may want to give this a listen before you pick it up.
Yeah.
It's different from their stuff. It's beautiful music, though. Yeah. Beautiful. That. And over in books, it's a TV connection going on. They're actually releasing the new show Once Upon a Time, which is about fairy tale characters who are transported to like modern day, and they're cursed. They don't really know who they are.
Okay.
That's on. They're actually, it's releasing Once Upon a Time, a collection of classic fairy tales. So it's all the Grimm fairy tales. It's a book for kids, but it's kind of, they're going off the Once Upon a Time. And the other TV in the book world, Arrested Development Philosophy.
What?
It's actually a series of books. It's the Blackwell Philosophy and Pop Culture series. I know they have 30 Rock they've done already.
Okay.
And it's, yeah, like the philosophy of Arrested Development.
Well, it sounds like some author who's just making a fortune off of popularity of other people's work.
I'm sure, but it looks interesting. So all you huge Arrested Development fans may want to check that one out.
All right.
And then here's where I usually sound all hoity-toity, talking about the theater.
Yes.
it just broke. There's going to be a new play. They're just starting to put it together, so there's not a date for it.
Okay.
But we will be lucky enough to be subjected to Austin Powers musical.
Mike Myers.
He's writing the story, but this is the interesting thing. The people who are developing it, some of the people from the Book of Mormon.
Oh, really?
No, it's not Matt and Trey.
Right.
But some of the other people who co-directed
are
developing it. And like I said, Mike Myers is writing the story, and then the music is going to be Burt Bacharach and Elvis Costello.
Oh, my God.
I can't decide if I'm like, oh, dear Lord, save us, or if I'm like...
So is this like combining all three movies together? Or
no,
is this supposed to be?
No, it's a brand new story.
Okay.
It's not the plots and stuff in the movies. It's a brand new story. It's actually going to be a prequel to the movies.
Oh.
And he's not... Mike Myers isn't starring in it.
So it's like young Austin Powers.
So it's a young Austin Powers. And like I said, they're just development stage now. So, but keep your eye out for that. Or, you know, don't.
All right.
We'll let you know when that's actually hitting the stage.
Wrapping up with entertainment news, we are, of course, in the thick of awards season, and all the nominations are rolling out. So this week we had both the Golden Globe nominations and the SAG nominations.
SAG is Screen Actors Guild.
Right, correct.
So it's the union of just actors voting on that.
Yeah, and all the film critics societies have been naming their best pictures of the year and their favorite actors and that kind of stuff. But I'm really disappointed because one film that seems to be left out of everything is Super 8. And I know fantasy sci-fi does not play with nomination committees,
And that was kids, too.
And it was kids, but I think it's doing a great disservice to J.J. Abrams' team and the cast, which I wanted to see that cast be nominated. SAG has a an award category called Best Ensemble.
Right.
And I would have loved to seen those kids get a nomination for that, because the movie is all centered on that core group of kids, and they do a fantastic job.
Yeah, it kind of got lost. And there's always something every year that kind of gets lost in the shuffle.
Yeah.
Some news that I'm excited about, and I don't know, people, women at least of my age may be excited about, Jeremy Sisto's on the new show Suburgatory, which I haven't,
Seen, you know, the only time I see that is the little tag at the end before Modern Family, because my DVR kind of picks it up.
Yeah. But I may have to watch it.
Why?
Because Alicia Silverstone is going to have like a few episode run on it as his love interest.
Oh.
Now, this is making me giddy.
Why?
Because they started in Clueless together.
Oh, Jeremy Sisto was in Clueless?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, so he was like the good-looking kind of jerky guy in Clueless. But anyhow, so having the two of them together just makes me all a little giddy.
Oh, interesting. But,
so that's news I'm excited about. Let's see, the other big news, Britney Spears is engaged, blah, blah, blah. And all the stories I see are like comparing her rings.
Who cares?
Exactly.
Find something else to talk about.
And the best part is, we knew she was getting engaged like a couple days before she got engaged. Like, it was like, tune in tomorrow, Britney Spears is getting engaged tonight.
God.
It's like, alrighty.
Russell Brand got a 6-episode commitment from FX to do a late night series, an unscripted series.
That could be interesting.
Starting in
like
the spring.
A talk show series? Or?
They weren't really clear about this is in the development stages. So,
all right, so we'll see how it ends up.
Whether it's Variety or something like that, we'll see.
That could be very interesting one way or another.
Yeah, and this is their first foray into that market.
Right,
FX.
Right.
They've done very well with scripted television. You know, obviously.
Yeah, and kind of pushing the envelope on that.
Yeah.
Scripted-wise. So maybe they'll be pushing the envelope.
Yep.
Cool. Okay, is that all we got news-wise?
Well, the only other note that I had here is for people who love the Lego series, the video game series, which has been like Star Wars was great, Indiana Jones was great, Batman was Pirates of the Caribbean was really good. Well, now we're getting Lord of the Rings.
Ooh.
The Lord of the Rings trilogy will be coming out in June, and then they'll do The Hobbit in December to coincide with the movie. So the people behind this, and I want to say it's Tall Tales, but I don't think that's right, the video game development company, they kind of take the essence of the films and the stories and boil it down into this very irreverent comedy, and it's a hell of a lot of fun and very time-consuming.
Okay. Well, I'm waiting for Oregon Trail, and then I'll play it. That's the only video game I really know how to play.
One dies of cholera.
So, okay, well, since the rest of the news, we'll roll quick because it's just become the thing. Kardashian news! Lamar Odom got traded to Dallas. So, Dallas, watch out. Khloe Kardashian is going to be descending on your city.
And now they'll do a spin-off series called The Kardashians in Dallas. Like,
I'm sure they will.
The Texas Kardashians or something.
I'm sure they will. So, okay, so that's our Kardashian news. We've, like, filled our quota. We can move on.
You got anything else?
And that's it.
All right, my last note has, since we've touched on Kardashians, we'll do two with Lindsay Lohan. The first is she got involved with LAPD last night because I think she was being chased by the paparazzi out here. And I only know this because it just happened across the street.
Nice.
But there was that, and there's a report that her Playboy issue is selling out across the country. Like, people are reordering stock that when they never reorder magazines. I know.
You can go look at it online, people.
Exactly.
You don't have to kill the trees to look at her boobs. You can go look at them online.
Merry Christmas to Lindsay Lohan and Hugh Hefner. So, thank you for tuning in. And we, you know, from all of us here at Verdict, and Melissa and I, we wish you a very happy, healthy, and safe holiday week. We will be back next week with another exciting rundown of what is happening in your world of entertainment.
I'm sure it will be. I better get cracking if you want me to make it exciting. Darn. All right, I'll get on that.
All right.
Okay, well, feel free to send us feedback. I'm Staley at DVDverdict.com, and I'm Hanson at DVDverdict.com, and send me sign-off lines, people. Come on. So I'm sticking with old-time newscasters here, and we will go all Walter Cronkite on you and say, and that's the way it is.